who to watch out for. I'm watching over here. Okay, we got that down. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this evening. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Somebody has to keep Pastor Braden straight. It's just worn his wife out trying to do it herself, so we need to give her all the help we can. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to begin in verse number 1 tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse number 1, if you'll find your place there, we'll begin reading. Follow along, if you would, in your Bible as I read aloud. 1 Corinthians 15. Beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now if you would, jump down with me to verse number 12. "Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead," that's a continuation kind of a verse 4, "He was buried and rose again the third day. Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. In this life only we have hope in Christ. We are of all men most miserable." I want to take a phrase that's there in verse number 13. "If there be no resurrection." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we thank You for the good morning service, for the time that we could celebrate Your resurrection from the grave. And Father, tonight we want to just think for a little while, Lord, what it would be like if there had been no resurrection. And God, we can't even really imagine what the world would be like today without the hope that we have in Christ. And yet, Father, Paul has recorded some things here and told us some things that how things would be if Christ had not risen. So I pray, God, You might impress upon us from the negative aspect, Father, the positive hope that we have in Christ. Use the Word of God to challenge us, to impress upon us the necessity and the importance of what happened 2,000 years ago when our Savior conquered death, hell, and the grave and rose again from the dead. Bless Your Word to each and every heart tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1 Corinthians 15, the first three verses, we have what many have called the gospel in a nutshell. And by that simply we mean this. Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand, by which ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." And then he defines the gospel beginning in verse 3. "I have delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins." This is the gospel, that Christ died for our sins. His death was not a martyr's death. His death was not the death of a good man or a teacher. His death was a man as a substitute for our sin debt. And the Bible says that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. Part 2 of the gospel, and that He was buried. We talked about that quite a bit this morning. Placed in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. You like that word in John chapter 20 that kept popping up over and over again? Sepulchre. That's a tricky word to roll off of your tongue. And they buried Him, and they put Him in that grave, and they rolled the stone, and they sealed it, and they put the guardian of soldiers out there in front of it. That Christ died for our sins, and then He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. The gospel, according to the Apostle Paul, who was given the gospel by God Himself, had it revealed to him, is that Christ died for our sins, that He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day. That is the gospel. That is all of the gospel. That is the complete gospel. Can I say this tonight? That is the full gospel. I say that because there's a lot of folks that call themselves full gospel that don't believe that that's the gospel. They think there's more to it than that right there. They think the gospel is not only that Christ died, that He's buried, and that He rose again, but that you have to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you have to show the signs, the gift signs of the Spirit. And you have to speak in other tongues as God gives you utterance. And they say all of that is the gospel, and you don't have all the gospel unless you've got the full gospel. And there's a whole denomination named after that, Full Gospel Fellowship. Turn if you would, keep your place there, but look over at Galatians chapter 1. Here's the danger with that. We are not to add anything to the gospel. And yet so many do. The gospel is what saves us. And the gospel alone is what saves us. God does not need any assistance from human beings to save sinners. He did it all on Calvary's cross. And when someone adds something to the gospel, they are perverting or corrupting the gospel. And Paul warned about that. Look here in Galatians chapter 1, verse number 7. Well, verse 6, he said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from Him that called you unto the grace of God unto another gospel. He says in verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Can you imagine anyone being so diabolical that they would pervert the gospel of Christ? He says in verse 8, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I now seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me was not after man. Paul put a very high value on the gospel. He was very protective of the gospel. In fact, if anyone perverted it, it made him upset. And he said, let them be accursed if they would mess with the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus Christ died for your sins, He was buried, and He rose again on the third day. This morning we celebrated that resurrection. And sad to say, just as there are some that would pervert the gospel of Christ, there are those that pervert the resurrection of Christ. Oh, they say it's not sufficient, it's not enough, it wasn't real, it wasn't actual. You know the story this morning we saw in Matthew chapter 28, that when the guardians of the tomb were put into a sleep by the angels of God, and the stone was rolled away and the earthquake came, those that were in power said to those soldiers, they said, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll give you money if you will say the disciples came and stole the body. And Matthew 28 said, and this story is common news until this day, to the day Matthew was writing that. People knew about that. There was someone trying to pervert the resurrection of Christ. There have been others down through the ages that have tried to do the same thing. Oh, the next story that came out was that yes, He was resurrected, but He wasn't resurrected in a body. It was a spiritual resurrection. When they saw Him, they really didn't see Him. They were seeing a vision of Him. Well, you know, there's a problem with that story. And the problem is the Bible. Look, if you would, at Luke chapter 24. Keep your place in 1 Corinthians 15. We'll be back. But look at Luke chapter 24. There are those that claim that Christ's resurrection was not a physical resurrection. Therefore, they also claim that His return will not be a physical return. So they're looking for a spiritual return of the Spirit of God to the world, where you and I that know the Scriptures are looking for a physical return of a physical Savior to the world. Because when He resurrected, it wasn't just a spiritual resurrection. Notice in Luke chapter 24, in verse 36, The Bible says in Luke 24:36, "And as they thus spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit." All right, there's room for them to think it was a spiritual resurrection. The disciples on that Sunday evening, first day of the week, John chapter 20, verse number 18, 19. As they gathered that evening in the upper room, Jesus came in and met with them, and they thought they'd seen a spirit. But He said in verse 38, "Why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have." And when He had thus spoken, He showed them His hands and His feet. It wasn't a spiritual resurrection. It was a physical resurrection. He told Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger and put it in the hole in my hand. Reach hither thy hand and put it in the hole that, or thy hand and put it in the hole that's in my side." It was the physical body that was resurrected. So much so here in Luke chapter 24 and verse 41 it says, "And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, He said unto them, Have you here any meat?" Now, if He's a spiritual resurrection, He's not worried about eating. But it said in verse 42, "And they gave Him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and He took it and did eat before them." Oh, there are those that would pervert the resurrection of Christ and say, it didn't really happen. The disciples stole His body. Or it was a spiritual resurrection, and it wasn't physical. I read something, and I've never more much on statistics, but someone did a poll a few years ago, and they polled at this time of the year, they polled church-going Christians to see whether they believed in a literal, physical resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And they claimed in that poll that 25% of church-going, quote-unquote Christians, did not believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ on resurrection morning. Now, I don't know why you'd go to church if you don't believe in that. I don't know how you'd call yourself a Christian if you don't believe in that. But they do. And even they doubt and pervert the resurrection of Christ. Paul, here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, not only defines for us the gospel, but he tells us the downside of the argument that there was no resurrection. I appreciate the intellect of the Apostle Paul. I love the fishermen. I love Peter, James, and John, and I love what they present. But I also like Paul's view of things, and he takes it a little more academically, I guess, sometimes we could say. And so he goes to the negative side of the resurrection and argues from that point. Here's what it would be like if there was no resurrection. And he begins that here in 1 Corinthians 15 and down in verse number 12. "Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some of you among you that there is no resurrection? If there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen." And Paul tells us what it would be like if Christ were not risen. I want to give you six things this evening. Each one of them will take about 20 minutes. But I want to give you six things that would be true if Christ had not risen from the dead. First of all, if there be no resurrection, if Christ be not risen, we would have unpromising preaching. Unpromising preaching. You know, if it wasn't for the resurrection of Christ from the dead, I'm wasting my time standing right here. If Christ be not risen, you wasted your time coming out here this evening. And can I tell you this? There's a lot of folks out there that would believe exactly that. That we are wasting our time, wasting our energy, putting it to no benefit. And Paul said this in verse number 14. He said, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain. We are one that beateth the air. We are wasting our breath if Christ is not risen." Oh, there's some other things you can believe or not believe, you can choose to agree with or not agree with, but when it comes to the resurrection of Christ, that's life or death. That's heaven or hell. That's salvation or damnation. And when we preach, Paul says, if it wasn't true, we would have unpromising preaching. Every preacher in the Bible from the day of Pentecost forward preached the resurrection. Now, I say from Pentecost forward, obviously, because the Old Testament prophets, some of them prophesied it, but they didn't really know what they were even talking about when they did. But once Christ died, was buried, and rose again, the Holy Spirit came at the day of Pentecost, and Peter started proclaiming. You know what the message was he proclaimed? Yes, you've killed him. Yes, you've slain him. He was your Messiah. He was the Holy One, but he's not dead. Look back at Acts chapter 2, if you would. Let's see it in writing. Don't take my word for it. Look back at Acts chapter 2. If Christ be not risen, we have unpromising preaching. Peter preached it here in Acts chapter 2. Look down, if you would, at verse 22, well into his message. Peter said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken," I like Peter's putting it right on him, "ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." But notice he says in verse 24, "whom God hath raised up." See, the message from the very beginning of the church has been the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's where our promise is. That's where our eternal life rests. And without that, we would have unpromising preaching. Look here farther on in Acts chapter 3. Turn over a page there in Acts chapter 3. In verse 13. It's always hard to get a good running start. There's so many places to start. Acts 3:13, Peter says, "The God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified His Son, whom ye delivered up." And again, there's that "ye." "Whom ye delivered up and denied Him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let Him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer, Barabbas, to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life." Notice this. "Whom God hath raised from the dead." From the very beginning, from the birth of the church, the preaching of the resurrection was vital. Not only did Peter preach about it, but he penned it. Look, if you would, over in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'm using "penned" because I'm using the P word. It wouldn't work if I said he quilled it, because my other points don't start with Q, so I got to say he penned it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again," notice, "unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Mark it down. Make no mistake. The preaching of the resurrection is what gives us promise. And Peter knew that. If you haven't lost your place, and you might have in Acts chapter 2... I'm going to look back there again real quick. But not only did Peter preach it and Peter penned it, but David prophesied it back there in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 29. "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. And seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up." Even the great King David prophesied of it over and over again, that there was a resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So Paul tells us plainly in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if there is no resurrection, we've got unpromising preaching. We mentioned this morning, even the Lord Jesus Christ proclaimed it. We saw twice in Matthew chapter 17, once in Matthew chapter 20, once in Matthew 26, and we'll not go back over that, but on four different occasions, the Lord told His disciples, I'm going to be delivered in the hands of sinners. They're going to crucify me. But the third day, I'm going to rise again. All of our hope, all of our faith, all of our promises are based on the resurrection of Christ. So Peter proclaimed it. Peter wrote about it. David prophesied it. Christ proclaimed it. And Paul himself mentioned it over and over and over again, that Christ has raised from the dead. Without that, we've got unpromising preaching. Secondly, look back again at 1 Corinthians 15. Look down with me, if you would, at verse 17. Well, start at the look at verse 14, the end of verse 14. If Christ be not risen and our preaching is vain, your faith is vain also. He says that again in verse number 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Vain. Your faith is vain. Not only unpromising preaching, but unfounded faith. If Christ be not risen, we have unfounded faith. We have no basis for what we believe. We have no concrete evidence. If the resurrection is not true, I just read Acts 2, Acts 3. We went to 1 Peter 1. We're in 1 Corinthians 15. This morning we preached on John chapter 20. We read the resurrection in Matthew 28, Mark chapter 16, Luke chapter 24, John chapter 20 this morning. And if it's not true, our faith, which is founded in the Word of God, is in vain. If there's one mistake in the Bible, there can be thousands. And if there's any mistake in the Bible, then putting our faith in it is mistaken in and of itself. And so this account given over and over and over again of the resurrection of Christ, if it's not true, our faith is misplaced. We shouldn't be reading the Bible, proclaiming the Bible, believing the Bible, if the resurrection isn't true. Oh, and there are so many that believe just that. Why waste your time with that book? Why read those old things? It's not true. It's an old wives' tale. They're cunningly devised fables if the resurrection isn't true. Not only are the Scriptures in vain, but what about our songs? Oh, when we come to this day, on this time of the year, we can sing. We as Christians, we as believers can say, up from the grave He arose, with a mighty triumph o'er His foes. We can sing, He is risen. He's alive. We've got all these songs. I serve a risen Savior who's in the world today. Well, if He's not risen, our faith is in vain. We've got no reason to sing. Up from the grave He arose. We sing, I heard this song today. My son Matt, when I went home, Facebook came on. It was the church service where he was up there, and he sang this song as a special this morning. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justifies. Freely forever. One day He's coming. Oh, glorious day. See, if Christ be not risen from the dead, all that faith is worthless. All that faith is vain. We have unfounded faith. Look here again at 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 15. Not only unpromising preaching and unfounded faith, but an untrue witness. If Christ be not risen, we have an untrue witness. Verse 15, Paul said this, yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. All those that testified of the resurrection of Christ are nothing but liars if Christ be not raised. Look right back up there earlier in the chapter. Look at verse number 5. The Bible says here in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 5, He was seen of Cephas. You know your Scripture? You know that Cephas is another name for Peter. Peter saw Him after His resurrection. Peter and the other disciples, John chapter 21, sat there by the fireside as they warmed themselves as Jesus ate with them. He was seen of Cephas. Verse 16, after that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once. At one occasion, and I don't believe it's recorded anywhere in Scripture that I've found, He made His appearance before 500 of the flock. 500 of the brethren, he appeared to them at one time. They testified of that. They reported it was true. And if it wasn't, they're a bunch of liars. It says in verse 7, after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. True or false? Was he or wasn't he? Did they see him or did they not? Then he says in verse 8, Paul says, and last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due season. Paul saw him in Acts chapter 9. After his ascension, he saw him from heaven as he came and spoke to him. And so Paul is telling us Cephas gave witness that he was alive. 500 brethren gave witness that he was alive. James and the apostles gave witness that he was alive. And Paul says, I also, being one out of born out of due season, can also testify. He's risen from the dead. He's alive. But if Christ be not risen, then all those good, supposedly holy, righteous Christian people are nothing but a pack of liars. Now, can we just bring this where the rubber meets the road? Somebody is lying. Because here's a bunch of folks that said, we saw him after he was raised from the dead. We can testify. We can proclaim that we saw him. And then here's a bunch of folks saying, it didn't happen. It's not true. No matter what you say, I don't believe it. Somebody is a liar. Now, you can take your sides. You can pick Cephas and James and the apostles and the 500 brethren and the apostle Paul, or you can take the modern day critic and scholar and believe whoever you want to. But Paul said, if there is no resurrection, we have an untrue witness. Number 4, look down at verse 17 here in 1 Corinthians 15. Verse number 17. And I don't know if I should say it this way, but it's going to get more real. Going to get more vital. Not just unpromising preaching and unfounded faith and an untrue witness, but verse 17. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Then notice the rest. Ye are yet in your sins. See, if Christ isn't risen from the dead, we have nothing but unforgiven sin. Because outside of the blood of Christ, there is no forgiveness. And if he's not raised, if he died just like everybody else died and was buried just like everybody else was buried and did not rise again from the dead, ye are yet in your sins. What a terrible thing to have to contemplate. What a terrible truth to have to confess if Christ be not raised from the dead. Keep your place there. Look back at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And see these twin things, the burial and the resurrection. If we can split hairs, if you want to even call it that. We can get deep theologically. We can see that the crucifixion did one thing and the resurrection did the other thing. But both of them were necessary for our redemption. Romans chapter 4 and verse 25, the same Paul that wrote 1 Corinthians 15 wrote this in Romans 5:25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Delivered, that's his crucifixion, for our offenses, and raised, that's his resurrection, for our justification. Without both of those, without those two twins, we are yet in our sins. It's only by His resurrection did He complete the crucifixion to give us justification and the forgiveness of our sins. And without that resurrection, you this evening sitting at Bible Baptist Church on April 4th, 2021, are dead in trespasses and sins. It's all, I've trusted Christ as my Savior. It doesn't matter if He hasn't risen from the dead. Your sins are unforgiven. If Christ hasn't risen from the dead, you're no different than a Buddhist who is dead in trespasses and sins. If Christ be not risen from the dead, you're no different than a Baha'i Berith. I saw one of those the other day. Those aren't real common anymore, but there's a lot of those cultists around. And if Christ be not risen, you're just as lost as that man or that woman is. You're yet in your sins. If Christ be not risen from the dead, you're just as lost as a Muslim is. Because their Savior didn't rise from the dead. If our Savior did not rise from the dead, we are yet in our sins. There is unforgiven sin. That leads me to verse number 18, which of course Paul wrote after he wrote verse 17. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ. Oh, isn't that a wonderful phrase? Fallen asleep in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That phrase in Christ is describing saved believers. But if there be no resurrection, those that have fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If there's no resurrection, there's unsaved souls. We are of all men most miserable. We have no hope. Our faith is in vain. Our preaching is worthless. Our witness is untrue. If Christ be not risen from the dead. Unsaved souls. It wasn't just Pilate. It wasn't just the Pharisees and the council. It wasn't just the Roman soldiers that wanted him dead and to remain in that tomb. The devil himself didn't want him to get out. Because he knew that though he had had him crucified, see, the devil's a little bit smarter than the rest of us are. And though the disciples didn't know that scripture that he would rise again from the dead, the devil sure knew it. And he did everything he could to keep Jesus in that tomb and in that grave. Because he knew if he got out, the devil was going to lose his grip on millions of souls. Because if Christ didn't get out of that grave, they all belong to him. They're all unsaved. They're all unregenerate. They're all unjustified. They're all his. If he could stop Christ from rising on the third day. But he couldn't do it. He didn't have the power to do it. And Christ is risen from the grave. And there are saved souls today because of that very thing. But Paul said, if there is no resurrection, we're all unsaved souls. You see how important the resurrection is? Oh, we come to quote-unquote Easter Sunday. We come to the resurrection and we make a big deal out of this thing and that thing and the other thing. And we're so interested in entertaining ourselves and making ourselves happy and making it a joyous day. And that's not bad. That's not wrong. But the only thing that matters on this day is that Christ was resurrected from the grave. Because without that, we're shot. There is unpromising preaching, unfounded faith, an untrue witness, unforgiven sins, unsaved souls. And lastly, verse 19, unhappy people. Verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If we give our lives believing a lie, we have wasted our lives. If we give our lives believing that Jesus Christ was the way, the truth, and the life, and no man could come to the Father but by Him, we've wasted our time. If we have been singing, I serve a risen Savior. If we've been singing, up from the grave He arose. And all that is false and untrue. Paul says we are of all men most miserable. See how disappointing it would be? How sad it would be? How vain it would be if Christ be not risen? Oh, but look at verse 20. And you ought to circle it, underline it, put stars around it, do whatever you want. But look at verse 20. Paul says this, but now is Christ risen. Oh, hallelujah. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. We don't have to worry about unpromising preaching. We have promising preaching because of the resurrection. We don't have to worry about unfounded faith. Our faith is properly founded because it's founded on the resurrection of Christ. We don't have to worry about an untrue witness. We know the witness of those who proclaimed it, and the Bible that records it is true because He did rise from the dead. We don't have to worry about unforgiven sins. He rose again for our justification. We don't have to worry about having unsaved souls. Putting our faith and trust in Him was the right thing to do and the eternal good thing to do. And we don't have to worry about being unhappy because Christ is risen from the dead. All tonight as we close out this Resurrection Sunday for 2021. May it not be the end of our thoughts about the resurrection of Christ for this year. Because we are looking for His second coming. We're looking for His soon appearing. And the promise of His second coming was all predicated or based on the physical resurrection He had from the dead. Those angels said, as the disciples watched Him ascend into heaven, the angels said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go." Now is Christ risen from the dead. Your faith is not vain. Your salvation is secure. Our joy is real because Christ is risen. Let's stand together this evening with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.